Northwest London Christian Church. We're studying through the book of 1 John. In the lessons and sermons, we can't cover everything, so I'm recording a few extra details on some of the verses. We're up to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. It reads, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." John uses the I word here for the first time. I write this to you. As he goes through his letter, he is getting more personal, calling them here his dear children, his little dear children. This letter is a personal appeal, motivated by love. This is not someone just trying to keep people in line. He loves the people he's writing to, and he wants them to enjoy their relationship with God in all its fullness. And to do that, they must have a proper understanding about the fact that Jesus did come in the flesh, and that sin really is serious. Here at the beginning of chapter 2, John sums up and reminds his readers of why he has written what he has written so far. The powerful love and forgiveness of Jesus is available, but is not a license to sin. When he says in this verse that we have someone who speaks in our defense, the word defense here is parakleton, or from parakleatos. The term in the Greek, the term has a legal ring. It often means the counsel for the defense in other contexts. It's the friend at court. The image is that of the royal court, at which a suppliant needs someone greater than himself, someone who has the ear of the king, to plead his cause, as is mentioned in the commentary on the Johannine epistles by J.L. Holden. We see this as Jesus' true function. He is there to speak in our defense. Romans 8:34, "Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Hebrews 7, verse 25. "Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." What a wonderful promise. He still lives to intercede for you and me. That's his function. That's Jesus' function. That's his role, especially there in Hebrews as our great high priest. And indeed, in his life, Jesus made a promise in Luke 12, verse 8. He said, "I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God." What a great promise. And indeed, we see in his personal relationships, there's an extension of this idea in his encounter with Peter, when he says, "I will pray for you," or "have prayed for you," in Luke 22, verse 32. "I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." He knew, for all of Peter's protestations of the fact, his claim that he would not betray Jesus and let him down, Jesus knew that would happen, and he said, "It's okay, I have prayed. I've already prayed for you, Simon." Indeed, as we reflect on 1 John, we know that we need to be honest about our sin, and we know that we should not sin. But we also know that when we do, we have Jesus, our advocate, the one who has prayed for us, the one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Let's be so grateful for that. And let's rejoice that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is our advocate. Tomorrow we'll look at 1 John 2, verse 2. Until then, have a wonderful day, and God bless.